Welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. By sifting through census data, state demographer Mike McCurry discovers the constantly changing story of South Dakota, and digging through all that data is something he finds exciting and something he's been doing as the supervisor of the SDSU Rural Life and Census Data Center since 2006. And Governor Dennis Dugard designated McCurry as South Dakota state demographer in 2011. And next Wednesday, McCurry officially retires from the classroom, but he'll stick around for the 2014 Demography Conference in June, and he joins us on the line. And Mike, welcome back to Dakota Midday.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Well, have you taught your last class?
Not really. Technically, the Demography Conference will be my last class because they've got a special opportunity for South Dakotans who attend the conference to get either one credit of senior level or graduate level credit for a special low cost of $40 on it.
Oh, so more teaching to do yet.
It's going to be my last hour will be walking out of the class, yes.
Well, you mentioned the 2014 Demography Conference coming up in a few weeks. The theme is, as I understand it, everyone is a demographer. That's because information is just out there for pretty much anyone?
Oh, yes. When I started to find demographic information, you really had to be at a university with a massive library. A small college wasn't enough for it, so you had to have either one of the land grants or one of the big schools. And now, with so much available on the Internet, you can be your own demographer anytime you want to. It's kind of a wonderful time. If you think back into the late 60s, early 70s, when Paul Ehrlich wrote the book, The Population Bomb, you didn't have any way of going and checking on what his premises are. Now you can get online and find people that'll argue either side.
So when we talk about everyone being a demographer, do people need to be careful with what they do with that information as far as drawing wrong conclusions?
Yeah, I think so. The one thing we can be sure of is that things will change. And, for example, when we went through this recession, we went through a drop in a birth rate. If we look at the birth rates in South Dakota, we're still above replacement, which is, I think it's technically something like 2.07, call it 2.1, because we've got some women that won't have children, et cetera. So we need 2.1 kids for every woman in the country to replace the generation. But here in South Dakota, we're at 2.3. Our neighboring states are below it. And yet we've also got other things that fit in there to change it. So that was the easy one to look at, but there's other factors that can make a liar out of us if we don't consider them.
What are those? So you have to look at more than just births, deaths, and migration?
Oh, yeah, and migration is the really hard one to get a hold of. It used to be that 1 year out of 10, people, one out of six households would get the long-form census. So we had basically, 16% of the population telling us what their migration was. We could come up with that's a pretty intensive sample for a survey. Now we go through and we've got the American Community Survey, which takes very few people, so our migration numbers are not correct. And our best data that we can get comes from the IRS tax forms, which they share with us. So I can take and get how many tax forms were filed in each county and how many exemptions, which gives me a really good count, theoretically, of how many people are moving. If I know how many people went from Brookings County to Lincoln County, I've got an answer, or so it seems. But then when I look at it even more, I've got a problem in Brookings County because a lot of our incoming freshmen come in as a exemption on their parents' income tax, but by the time they leave at 21, 22, 23, they're paying their own taxes. So if I just looked at the data that's available, I would think Brookings County should be totally depopulated in another 3 weeks.
So when you're studying these figures, it's important to know that, in this case, that the Brookings is a college town and you have these people coming and going. If you didn't know that, then you would draw the wrong conclusions.
Yes.
And that's sort of the trick of demography, or that's something that you know, that's important to keep that in mind. That demographers have to understand what they're studying in the regions.
The devil is truly in the details. If we look up at McPherson County, it's one of our oldest counties in the state, and we can look at it, and yet our school figures look better than they should for the age of the county. And it's because the population has dropped so much that the Hutterite colonies there provide a third of the school children in the county. If we're used to having people take a look at our reservations and say there's always an undercount on the reservation. And if we take a look and think about it, the census comes in and the census is worried about who is there on April 1st. And by April 1st, construction has started in Denver, in Colorado Springs, and a lot of our young adults are gone from Pine Ridge, from Shannon County, to go work those. So, yeah, you have to know these small little things that almost seem insignificant to get a better guess.
Now, how difficult is it to know those things? And maybe that's why it's important that there is the Rural Life and Census Data Center in South Dakota there at SDSU, so you have people who know what's happening, and you know the history and the background and the makeup of the state?
Pretty much. One of the presentations I'll be making is going to be on the Census of Agriculture. And it's really interesting to see how many people in South Dakota, we drive out there and we look at it and we think that soybeans are something we've been farming forever. You know, most of our farmers don't remember a time without them. But if we went to the time of World War II, 1944, 45, we produced a little over 100,000 bushels of soybeans. And somewhere around 1970, 1975, we got up above 5-6 million, and now we produce 130 million bushels of soybeans. It's really changed. And yet, it changes one year at a time, and we never notice it.
And that's maybe the most important thing that you and other demographers in South Dakota do is follow those changes or watch those changes and be able to find out what's happening?
Yeah. Because, you know, the things we experience, we see the changes in a crop as an individual. We see the changes in what's happening to people. But to really understand, we need to have a record and we need to have data.
Now, the data that you're working with, is it more than IRS and census data? Do you draw it from get data from other places?
I'm remarkably Catholic in my choice of where I get data from. The Census Bureau, for example, used to do a census of religions until the mid-1930s, when they decided it was not proper for the U.S. government to be involved in this thing. And yet I will go through and get a half a dozen questions a year about churches and things like that. So I use the American Religious the Archive to Religious Data, American Religious Data Archives, the ARDA, so that I can find out what's going on that. That was my last question, and it turned out that the increase in Catholics is just about matches the decrease in Methodists over the last 10, 20 years. So you have to get data wherever you can get it.
And can you draw any conclusions from that Catholics versus Methodists there in the population numbers?
Oh, I probably could, but yeah, They'd probably be irresponsible ones.
Well, it's not just the government that collects data, as we're talking about, through the census. It seems like just about every entity we interact with on the Internet that there's all that other information as well. Is that something that demographers like yourself have access to, or is that something that that's just privately held by those companies?
That's kind of a yes, but they're really, a lot of people are really generous with it. I was taking a look one time to find out when they were looking at, they were talking a lot of gun control legislation with Sandy Hook a while back, and somebody was talking about how large the firearms companies were. So I was able to contrast the sales of Colt and Winchester with Daktronix here in Brookings, and realized we're really talking a very small industry there. And the folks with the data are actually pretty good about sharing it with me.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. We're talking to state demographer Michael McCurry, who is getting ready to retire from SDSU, where he teaches and is a part of the SDSU Rural Life and Census Data Center. And I'm just curious, how did you get involved into this field of demography to begin with?
Oh, that's a good one. When I got out of college, my first serious employer was the Soil Conservation Service. Now it's the Natural Resource and Conservation Service. But they had me hired as a snow surveyor, going out measuring how deep the snow was, and then we'd work models to see how much the water runoff would go to fill the reservoirs in the Northwest for water generation and irrigation purposes. And there's not a lot of difference between, once you're looking at a flow, whether it's a flow of people or a flow of water, the math is all about the same. So after the 1980 census came out, I'd had a little bit of soche, and so Soil Conservation Service detailed me into the state office with a task of doing the necessary work from the 1980 census, and I looked at it, and it was the first year they put it on computer. So I took what they'd planned on being done in 8 months. I went down, talked to my old head of department, and we drank a couple cups of coffee while the secretaries ran the computers, and I took the printouts and got everything done in about 3 weeks, and I spent the rest of the year measuring soil erosion on random selected plots because I'd been so much more efficient than anyone had planned.
So what brought you to SDSU then? You were, what, in Montana?
Yes, I was. I'd gone through from there to teaching in Southern Colorado. Then Dad was getting sick, and I went back to help with a farm in northwest Montana. Broke my back when I was pushing 40 and decided it was time to go to grad school and start back in education again. And I was a county agent in Montana, and then the opportunity to come over here with Extension Service moved in. So I spent 5.5 years working with Extension Service under mostly Larry Tiedemann, and when Larry retired a little later, I transferred over here to the department, and I've been here ever since.
Now, in your interest here, is it in the numbers, or is it the passion or the excitement that you find digging into those numbers and finding out what they mean, what stories they're telling?
I think it's probably finding out the stories they tell. You know, like I mentioned up there in McPherson, we've got some unique populations here. When you start to look at South Dakota and how we have about 6,000 Hutterites, and that doesn't seem like very many people in a state of 800,000, but they're such a significant part of our agricultural production and how we look at things. We look at a state here where about 9% of our population is still American Indian, predominantly Dakota people. And it's a unique thing. One of my graduate students, Mary Kills 100, did her thesis and just completed it on why we do wind up with an underrepresentation by American Indians every time we sample them. And so her work on this is going to be pretty much pivotal in determining how surveys will go in reservations. It was a unique opportunity, and the young lady's done some fantastic work.
So you work, you'll miss the work that you do with your graduate students.
I think I probably will miss them for years, yes.
Yeah. Now, I understand that since you've been working here in South Dakota, that you visited all 66 counties. You've been everywhere?
I have been everywhere. Well, not really. I missed Big Stone.
Okay.
I haven't been to Big Stone, but I have been to Camp Crook.
Do you think that's a vital importance to your work as a state demographer to have actually been to most of the counties in the state?
I'm not sure. I think probably going to them might actually give me a biased opinion at times.
Hmm.
So I think I have to be cautious to actually look at the data as well as know where they are. I think it helps, but I think you've got to combine the two.
Now, we've been talking about the demography conference that comes up in June. Who is that designed for?
Well, we added teachers into this one, because last year I had several secondary teachers complain that I'd had it scheduled for the last week that they were teaching and they couldn't make it to that. So we've added a section in there emphasizing it for our primary and secondary teachers to be able to learn how to get data off the census webs and things like this. Additionally, we'll work with planners. I've got some of the elected officials from counties and towns that have already gone into places on here, and then affiliated organizations. For example, demography makes a great deal of difference to the Department of Transportation, obviously, where we move people from one place to another. If we look at the Governor's Office of Economic Development, they work fairly closely with us.
So is registration for people still interested? Is it still open, or is everything filled up?
Oh, it's still open. Mm-hmm. Our early registration date is like June 1st.
Okay.
And so for anybody who's interested in it, probably we're right on the census data site at South Dakota State University, or a call here to our secretary's office, which I think is 605-688-4832.
4832. And for you, before we let you go here, will you still be active in demography and these studies in one way or another after retirement?
I'm sure I will. Okay. I can't see getting away from it. But when you're used to numbers and they're as available as they are now, I can retire to anywhere and still play with it.
All right. Well, Mike, thanks so much for joining us on Dakota Midday, and congratulations on your retirement, and best wishes for the future.
Thank you.
That's
always fun.
All right. Thank you so much. That's Michael McCurry, South Dakota State demographer. He retires from teaching at SDSU next Wednesday, but he will still be around for the SDSU Census Data Center Demography Conference, which is coming up June 11th through the 13th.